We are all quite aware of the emotional, psychological suffering and torment that Israelis have been experiencing over the past half year. Suffering that not only has affected Israelis, has affected those in the diaspora, particularly those who have family members who are hostages, lone soldiers, and others who have family who have been directly affected. We've all been emotionally affected, but tragically, so many here in the diaspora and in particular in Israel have been suffering emotionally, psychologically for all these months in ways that cannot even be imagined or fully described. In an article published back in January in the prominent medical journal The Lancet, as referenced in an article back in February in the Straits Times, one of the co-authors being a clinical psychologist by the name of Yossi Levy-Belz, the article says, quote, "All citizens in Israel were, in some fashion, exposed to this attack of unprecedented scope and traumatic impact. It reflects a mass national trauma." There are articles that talk about the various epicenters of the mental, emotional, psychological suffering, with, of course, hostages and those who were brutalized, those who survived, hostages released, soldiers, Holocaust survivors in whom their respective memories have been resurrected, rekindled. There are descriptions of, for example, in an article written by Leanne Kollerin a number of months ago, wherein she refers to a psychoanalyst from Hebrew University, Dr. Ofrit Shapira Berman, who talked about the trauma of the hostages who were released many months ago, and how difficult they are, how difficult it has been for them, needless to say, for a variety of reasons. One of the things that she mentions, and this is very striking, is that hostages who were released, the most painful thing, she says, I hear from all of them, is that they aren't able to trust humanity anymore. The psychological, emotional trauma is in and of itself so huge, so seemingly insurmountable. We know about so many attempted suicides and so tragically successful suicides. With this in mind, I think it's perhaps meaningful to reflect on a particular phrase that will be read tomorrow on Shvi'i Shel Pesach, on the seventh day of Passover, in Medinat Yisrael and here in the diaspora. In the introduction to the Shiras Hayom, to the song that the Jewish people and Moshe composed and sung to God upon crossing the Reed Sea and upon looking back and seeing the Egyptians drowning and dying, pasuk says, "Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim meis," that the Jewish people observed the Egyptians dead or dying al sfas hayom on the bank of the sea. Rabbi Bernard Weinberger of blessed memory, who was a prominent rabbi of the Young Israel of Brooklyn in Williamsburg for over 40 years, has a collection of svarim of his drushos, beautiful ideas and essays called Shemen HaTov. He comments that the Medrash focuses on, doesn't say where this particular medrash is sourced, but he quotes a medrash that the singular formulation of Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim meis, that the Jew observed the Egyptian dead, not meisim, not vayiru, that they saw the Egyptians dying dead, Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim meis, that the Jew observed the Egyptian dead, says the Medrash, "Dechol echad ra'a oso ha-Mitzri hanoges u'mishabed oso," that every single Jew saw the specific Egyptian who had tormented him or her, who had brutalized him or her, who had terrorized him or her during their suffering in Egypt. Every single Jew saw the specific individual Egyptian who was culpable and responsible and guilty of imposing such brutality on that particular Jew. That's why it says it in the singular. And Rabbi Warenberger explains that Ra'u es ha-Mitzri halon bekerev libam meis. The Medrash understands that the liberation, physical liberation of the Jews from Egypt, did not result in full liberation from Egypt. Even after the shackles were removed, the torment and terrorizing and brutality ceased. Every Jew would be carrying with him and with her within their libam, within their hearts, within their emotions, within their feelings, within their psyche, that particular Egyptian who was responsible for that particular individual Jew's respective suffering, that Egyptian would continue to reside and to haunt that Jew for the rest of his or her life. And so says Rabbi Weinberger, when a particular Jew saw that particular Egyptian who was responsible for his or her suffering dead, that allowed that Jew, not because they celebrated the death of the Egyptian, but because of observing the dead Egyptian on the bank, that allowed that particular Jew's emotional suffering to experience a degree of reprieve, a degree of at least transient pause. It accomplished emotional liberation. It accomplished a degree, for however long, however significant, however extensive, emotional liberation by being able to experience on some level that that Egyptian who was residing and resonating and relentlessly inside their emotional fabric, when they saw that Egyptian dead, it allowed that Jew to be able to extricate, able to remove that Egyptian for a period of time, to a degree, to a percent, from inside of themselves, and that emotional liberation that allowed them to not be as profoundly haunted, as perpetually haunted. That was what the Jews sang Shira for. That's why Rabbi Bernard Weinberger explains the celebrated Medrash that we are generally familiar with, that the angels wanted to sing praise to God when the Egyptians were lying dead on the bank of the sea. And God said, Ma'asa yodai tovim bayam atem mevakshim lomar shira. My handiwork, my creatures, my human beings are lying dead, are drowning in the sea, and you want to sing to me? So the question that says, of course, well, what about the Jews? The Jews sang to God. Says Rabbi Weinberger, the Jews didn't sing because people were dead. The Jews sang because the Jews saw those individual Egyptians who were responsible for their suffering dead. That meant that they were allowed to, that it gave them the opportunity to release some of the anguish, some of the pain, some of the suffering that the Egyptian entrenched within them. That was the emotional liberation for which they sang to God, for giving them some degree of liberation emotionally and psychologically. And that is what Jewish people sang Shira for then. One can only imagine the pain and suffering emotionally, aside from all the physical, and how the Shira tomorrow, in this context and with this in mind, gives us the motivation, inspiration to be able to ask God to give those who are suffering refuas hanefesh or refuas haguf, to give them a degree of emotional liberation in addition to the so absolute necessary physical healing and being able to recover from all kinds of physical injuries and suffering and imposed upon brutality. That is what the Shira is about this year, to sing Shira by those who experience a degree of emotional liberation, to be able to experience it this year and be able to gradually move on, and please God, be able to come to a point in the near future where the physical war concludes successfully as possible, and then to continue to address the emotional war and to ask God to give emotional liberation, reprieve, and healing. Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim meis al sefas hayom, to be able to experience, as Rabbi Weinberger says, to become b'nei chorin, based on what was, what perhaps can now be inside libam, their hearts. Chag Sameach to all.